Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Impromptu, unscheduled, can't believe we're doing this episode of Believe in Kentucky. Aaron Gershaw, man, good God.
Man, oh man. Yeah, here we are again, man. I mean, I just joked before, you got to smile and laugh so you don't cry about it, but it's crazy. I mean, we're in the same exact spot 2 years ago. I guess, you know, looking back in hindsight, and there's no excuse for losing to St. Peter still, but, you know, at least St. Peter's clearly had some dudes. Clearly, Kentucky was banged up, and you could, even the most, the Cal haters could, like, find ways to be like, all right, it's a one-off. Duke lost to Lehigh. They lost to Mercer that 1 year. You know,
Bucknell beat Kansas or something.
But, yeah, things happen. It's March. But for it to happen, 2 years later, with the most, I mean, up there with the most talented roster in the Calipari era, Calipari doing it his way, which is the freshman, the talent over the experience, which is clearly winning nowadays. And for him to build this whole, you know, he threw after every loss, the 3-game home losing streak in March, the loss to LSU, the loss to UNCW. It's all about March. We're built for March. We'll be fine. For them to go 0-2 in March, if you want to count the SEC tournament, for him to have two postseason wins, a win over number 11 seed Vanderbilt and number 11 seed Providence in the two respective tournaments since COVID. It's over, man. What he did his first 6 years, and then if you want to even say his first 10 years, unbelievable. His name, he should have a rafter, his name in the rafters at Rupp Arena eventually, but. You know, 15 years is a long time. And was it Joe B. Hall that gave him the advice that this would be a 10-year job?
Yeah.
It's probably gone too far. And these last 5 years have been unacceptable. And this was the tipping point. I think, you know, for as divided as this fan base has been, whether it's against each other, whether it's against the media, whether it's against Cal, for Cal, whatever the hell it is. It's the most united I've ever seen it. And everyone's done. Everyone's just fed up and done. And maybe some people are okay with Cal coming back if he changes his ways, but we all know he ain't changing anything. He said it after the game. So it's a stunning reality, but, you know, we're here. We're here on Sunday. I got back to Lexington 2 days ago. I thought I'd be driving back. At this point, I mean, I did have, you could ask Daryl and Mark Mathis, Daryl Bird and Mark Mathis, who I drove to Pittsburgh with, you know, they piled in just like last year. I drove the crew down and I was telling them I had a bad feeling. I didn't bring it up on, you know, our episode with Tony Delk. I didn't want to ruin the mood with TD in here, but there's just an uneasiness, and the fact you even have an uneasiness about Oakland in a first round game when, you know, the Abilene Christians, the Stony Brooks, the Western Kentuckys, the Northern Kentuckys, like you've never feared that in the early Calipari era. But there was an uneasiness going into this game from everyone I talked to, you know, in media circles, even just comparing the confidence that Oakland had to maybe Kentucky and their pregame stuff. And at the end of the day, all that tightness, all that came to fruition. And, you know, here we are.
And if you remember the way we closed the last week's episode with Tony Depp, if for those that didn't listen, if you listen, you heard mm-hmm. Tony said, and if they are somehow to lose that first game, things will be mighty hot in Lexington. And if
they are,
that didn't turn out to be prophetic. Look, you were there in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
You were there at the St. Peter's game. You already referenced it, which of course we're going to reference it because we're out in the first round.
Have to now.
Just compare and contrast. Was it eerily similar? You said you had a weird feeling. Was it like deja vu all over again, to quote your guy, Yogi Berra?
Yeah.
Or was it differences, or was there a lot of stuff that was, I mean, just compare and contrast these two first round losses, because we got two to speak of right here, two years apart.
I think it was different because St. Peter's was genuinely stunning. I mean, there was just, you go into that game, they're like, even, you know, Kentucky didn't play great in the SEC tournament. They win one game, they get bounced by Tennessee. Okay, you know, that team, even with the injuries, played pretty darn well down the stretch. I mean, they had the loss at Arkansas, but that was a close game. You know, they beat Ole Miss, Florida, in the year, I think it was. So, you know, they weren't necessarily limping to the finish line. They didn't play great in the SEC tournament, but it wasn't anything to the point of, well, they're going to go out and lose to St. Peter's that no one – I mean, I grew up an hour from St. Peter's. I'd never heard of them. So that was just genuinely like you're taking it all in and you're just stunned. Like, how the hell is this happening? Mm-hmm. Where this game, like I said, there was some uneasiness going in. And early in the game, we could feel it. When Oakland started, I think, 1-for-10, and Kentucky couldn't get out to a big lead, it was like, uh-oh, here we go. Then Golkey starts getting hot, and the confidence starts to build on the other side. The building, as Greg Campy said it would, started to go against Kentucky because, you know, there was a really good, you know, Kentucky contingency there. But, you know, Thursday night, people are still working. Not everyone's going to get to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I get it. So the building between, you know, Oakland fans, NC State fans, Texas Tech fans, they wanted Kentucky to lose. And I don't blame them. Just like just how it turned in Indy, except there was a much longer contingency in Indy because it's, you know, 3 hours down the road. But it was different in the sense where I could see it the whole game. Like I didn't let myself even think they were going to lose to St. Peter's until overtime. Like I even thought when the game went into overtime, they'd probably pull it out. It'd be a scare. It'd be a who the hell knows what's going to happen on Saturday against Murray or at that point San Francisco. But yeah. It's like, all right, you know, survive in advance. You know, it happens. This one, it just felt like they were going to lose. Like, I couldn't see them winning. The only time I thought for a second maybe they were going to pull this thing out is when I think they cut it to one and they needed one more stop. And I figured, all right, maybe they'll get the ball back down one, 27 seconds. And, you know, the way Reeves was going the whole game with the way Mitchell was getting to the paint, you know, maybe they can get – or I think Mitchell was still not fouled out yet. But at least with Reeves, the way he was going, I felt like, all right, you know, they'll have a possession here to have a chance. But then DQ Scott hits a three in the corner, and it's four, and you know it's over. So, yeah, that's the big difference. This one kind of felt like it was happening pretty early, where the St. Peter's game, you know, Calipari at that point hadn't lost a first-round game, I don't think. I think he was undefeated in the first round. So it was completely unprecedented. It was completely new. It was that, you know, you want to think it was going to be a one-off. And, you know, I think these last 2 years, the way they've been unable to respond shows it wasn't a one-off. And that's quite the indictment.
Just lost it and not able to get it back. And, you know, you mentioned the first – 6 years, you know, the start, how great that was. If you take one of those Final Fours and, you know, from 2011, 2010, you know, that cluster, move one of those to 2019, we're having a different conversation. If you just to spread it out, but it's just such a distinct, great, underachieving in the line of demarcation and is not able to recapture anything from that first half. It's unbelievable.
It is. Yeah. I mean, you had obviously the first 6 years were incredible. Four Final Fours, a national title, 38-0. You know, obviously we know how that ended, but still 38-0. And then even the, you know, next few years, like, it's hard when you do all that to expect them to get to the Final Four every year. But, you know, 2016 was not a great year. 2017, really not a great year, but they find a way to the Sweet 16 at least. Could have gone even further with the draw, whatever. 2018-19 season, they get back to the Elite Eight. You're feeling pretty – or 20, I missed the two. 2017 and 2019, you're in the Elite Eight. But, you know, since you know, who knows with the COVID team, Cal's going to – if he has a chance to speak on his radio show tomorrow, we're going to hear about how they should have been in the Final Four in 2020. I don't want to hear it. None of us know. They had a great year that year. They won the SEC, but none of us really know that. Remember, there was the issue with Ashton Hagans too. How close was that locker room at that point in the year? What really was going to happen in March? We don't know. So you kind of throw that out a little bit. And then since then, it's an unmitigated disaster. 9-16, St. Peter's, a mid team. That ended up losing the second round, pretty reflective of what the year was as a whole. And then you have this uber talented roster that everybody loves. And what did I say on this show like 3 weeks ago? If they didn't do well in March, people are going to remember Rob Dillingham. They're going to remember Reeves. They're going to remember Reed Shepherd. They ain't going to remember this team other than they lost to Oakland. And that's where we're at, man. It's just unacceptable. It can't. I mean, if Cal was going to give you evidence that he was going to adjust and, you know, really combine the youth and age, and he was going to, you know, figure out what the hell happened defensively, maybe make some changes on the staff where it feels like, you know, I think Welch was an amazing hire. Clearly look at what he did with this offense, or at least helped do. I think Chuck Martin's a solid hire, but like, no, this is not a personal shot, but what are Chin Coleman, Orlando Antigua, and, Bruiser Flint doing exactly? We know Orlando and Chin are recruiting. What we don't even know what Bruiser's doing. So like, if there was a real commitment and physical evidence this thing was going to change, I could possibly be talked into another year being okay. But you know, you look at all these transfer lists, and that's not the end all be all here, but like, Kentucky hasn't reached out to anyone in the portal. Calipari straight up said we might not need to use the portal in his post-game press conference. He has six freshmen coming in, none of them outside of Travis Perry, who, you know, we'll see how his game translates. I hope it's another Reed Shepherd story, but he doesn't have really any shooters coming in. Like, this class is not what this last one was. I feel like when he was talking about playing it my way, this was his chance, and they failed.
Yeah, and there's a lot made of we've got a great group coming in next year. You had a great group come in this year.
You had a better group come in this year. A much better one. And that's not a shot. I'm not trying to take shots. It's just you look at, like, the consensus numbers, and, like, this 2024 class overall isn't great. And you got some of the best players in the class, and that, you know, we'll see how it goes. But this ain't what you had last year. This ain't, you know, DJ, Rob. You had the T-shirt with all the names. This ain't that.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. And he was, you know, rocking that shirt as he should have. But look, we're streaming live, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Y'all jump in with comments and questions. Feel free. Appreciate everybody that's taking the time to check us out. Take a second to tell you about the Autograph app. You can still get on there and check out all the UK content. Now, that's going to be off-season, season's over content. There's still going to be podcasts and articles and all kind of UK content there. We partnered up with the Autograph app. It redefines the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this podcast. The Autograph fandom app gives you access to all your favorite Kentucky content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it for free today using referral code Believe Kentucky, BLEAV Kentucky, all together. Link and code are also in our podcast description. So, yeah, you can still go use the app. Now we'll be checking on UK baseball and UK softball, who the women's hire will be, what's going on with the men's as well. What would be a coaching search? That's what you can still check all that content out on Apple App Store, Autograph Phantom, or what app. So, yeah, appreciate you being your perspective, because you were there to compare and contrast both of those. And like you said, this group isn't as good as last year's, and you know, the shirt was made. And the thing too that kind of got me, he was straight up asked, do you feel that the team was tight? That's a viewpoint question. What do you think? And he says, you have to ask them. They just ask you, and you still deflect it. So, I mean, do you not know? Do you not have a feel?
Look, I'd have to go back and look at the transcript from after the St. Peter's game and what all he said. But I remember I came away from that press conference thinking he took some good accountability. He was genuinely shocked, stunned, all the adjectives you want to throw out there, where this time it just felt, like you said, deflective, you know, talking about the anxiety and the tiredness. And then, you know, they took some uncharacteristic shots, or they were uncharacteristic turnovers, yada, 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 didn't get rebounds. But like, man, you got to take some accountability. The players are different every year at Kentucky. Like, there's no roster continuity ever. And when the same thing keeps happening, and the only person that's been there for all of it is you, there's got to be some accountability. I mean, there was just nothing there in that press conference. And then, you know, of course, the big one was, you know, CL from the Louisville Courier-Journal asking how you go approach this thing. What do you have to change? And he basically, you know, goes on a tangent about how, you know, it's going to be hard to change because he wants to help these families and send their kids to the NBA. And it's going to be really hard to stop recruiting freshmen. And he brought up the portal and said, maybe we don't need it. Like, that is unacceptable. There's no reading the room in that situation. And it's not to say you can't still recruit freshmen. You can't combine the two and come up with something. But like, man, to basically have your response to all this be run it back.
Mm-hmm.
Just brutal. Yeah. Like, that was, to me, that's the nail in the coffin. That was the one for me where it's like, all right, it's time. Like, this thing is never, we're going to be doing the same thing next year. And unfortunately, a segment of the fan base is going to get hyped up and excited about it. And they're just going to get let down again the first weekend of the tournament.
You know, Anthony McElvaney, well, without the new class having real good shooters, they would need to hang their hat on defense and mainly rebounding.
Yeah, sure. I mean, look how that worked out last season, though. Man. That's what they hung their hats on last year. They were a pretty good defensive team. They were a really good rebounding team because you had Oscar Tshiebwe. And even Chris had some really good rebounding games, top and whatever. But, you know, there needs to be a combination. There's got to be a middle ground. Like, if all Kentucky had to do was be 10%, really, Cal was right about that. They just had to be 10% better defensively, and it never got there. I mean, he wants to go look at the Auburn game, but you go watch the Auburn game again and count the open looks they missed.
Yeah.
So, and they just lost to Yale, too. So maybe that says something about that team that you beat.
The SEC as a whole. The first weekend.
Yeah, outside of Tennessee and A&M, man. And
Alabama.
Everybody else is. And they still gave up like 100 points. So we'll see how they fare today against Grand Canyon, I believe.
Yeah. But yeah, just the first half of the career, that's not realistic. You can't expect four Final Fours in 6 years. Nope, nobody does that. You got to expect a regressing to the mean, coming back down to earth, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But to go to the other end of the pendulum, like what we've seen, and bottom out like this, and it's been like that for a while, that first half bought him quite a lot of goodwill because it was –
bought him a lifetime contract.
It was, you know, we all were just, well, yeah, next year he'll get it. He'll be back. He'll get it back. And nope. And – St. Peter's and 9-16. And, you know, this year, like you said,
last year was bad too, man. Yeah. You know,
but three losses at Rupp, and we just kind of brushed that off. And the 9-16 team didn't even do that. They found a way not to. I mean, so
they started 3-0 in SEC play.
Yeah. So, man, you know, it's just,
No, it's and look, Mitch Barnhart has a massive decision to make. I get the $33 million is tough, but you know, in this day and age, it's complicated. But there's ways to raise that money, have that money, get him out of here, and move on. And I get, look, the unknown is scary. Sky Clark just entered the portal, by the way. I bet Kentucky will maybe like they probably won't reach out, whatever. But it's just change is scary. I get that. Like if you do move on from Cal, this recruiting class, which again, I don't think is great, probably goes away. You know, maybe Travis Perry, just being who he is, you keep him. Maybe you keep, I don't know what you get back from this current roster, maybe nothing, but it is easier than ever. And that's why Kenny Payne was killed by Louisville fans and by national media. Like, how do you not rebuild quickly at Louisville? Because you have all this NIL money, you have all this portal stuff to your advantage, and Kenny couldn't do it. I mean, we see all these coaches around the country. Danny Sprinkle at Utah State is in the round of 32 in year one there. Like, it is easier than ever to get this things turned around at big-name schools, let alone at places like Utah State. So whoever comes in here,
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
They're going to have the portal. They're going to have all the NIL money in the world, and they're going to be able to put together a competitive roster right away. Will it be as talented or as freshman star-studded as Calipari's rosters are? No, but it's something different. And I just think the vibe I get from the fan base, and maybe I'm wrong, is that people are ready to win or lose with someone else. Like they're tired of the basketball Benny talk. They're tired of the same Calisms. They're tired of the same excuses. They're tired of the same approach. They just want change. And after 15 years, man, like I can't blame them. And these last 5 years are just, it's not Kentucky basketball anymore. I mean, I'd love to see, I think I saw a stat where only one team has less SEC tournament wins the last 4 years. Obviously Kentucky only has one of those. I don't even know who has zero. I think it might be Ole Miss off the top of my head, maybe even wrong on that. I actually think I am wrong on that. Now that I think of it, I don't even know who has the zero losses there, but it's just unacceptable. It is embarrassing.
You mentioned next year. That question popped up right there in the comments too. Boys, is anyone going to stay another year? Is a dude even, he would have been the answer. Is he? I mean,
obviously this is all contingent on Cal. I mean, maybe you get some of those guys back. Maybe get a do back. Yeah, maybe get maybe Reed Shepherd. The way things ended, it makes it so hard for him to not, you know, come back and, you know, want to come and end on a positive note. I mean, I'm just throwing things out there. I don't know that for sure. But I mean, from all I heard before this thing happened with Oakland, I was pretty confident, you know. The obvious ones, Rob, DJ, Justin, all gone. Aaron Bradshaw, probably gone. Ugo, probably gone with a portal situation there. Jordan Burke's probably gone. So it was looking like, you know, Joey Hart, maybe Reed Shepherd, and maybe Adu Thiero. But and look, I mean, obviously getting Reed back is great. But I keep going back, like, I keep seeing this point on Twitter. Like, if Reed Shepherd says, I will come back if Cal's back, do you do it? No. Like, you can't make an emotional decision like that. You just can't. And I even think that Cal, the way he cares for his players, because I do think that part's genuine, I don't think he would want Reed to be put in that predicament where he's basically dictating the future of the Kentucky basketball program, or at least the immediate future. So I just think there's, you know, we'll see. I mean, if Cal comes back, we can have the stay and go conversations. But, I mean, if he goes, I think it's you're looking at maybe the walk-ons come back, and that's about it.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, and I had hoped it would be the complete opposite. You hear Greg Campy talk, all this confidence, all this brash. We wanted Kentucky. We highlighted all this. You know, you wrote about it. You tweeted out everything they were saying leading up to the game. And you hoped it would just poke the bear. This is going to get Kentucky going. As if they didn't have enough riding on it already. You add the Oakland fuel to that fire. Well, this is what – okay, all right. And the exact opposite. Never were the aggressor to Oakland. Oakland led pretty much the whole game. Texas A&M pretty much led the whole game at the SEC tournament. It was just a replay of College Station from the regular season. And, you know, like you said, Cal with the tightness is, and you have to ask the players, all the connections to the good glory years are gone. Dwayne Peavy's gone, Robic's gone, all those guys are gone. You mentioned it. He's the only constant. And here we see, and it's sad. I saw somebody tweet that what Cal's done to his legacy is sad, because it makes it look like he was just kind of propped up by all these other people. And you hate to say that, but it's
you do. Yeah, and again, I think one day we'll be able to celebrate him the way Tubby got it last year, right? Where Tubby, you know, he was pushed out at the end, and his, I still think his tenure was on your. I don't think it was Joby Hall, Cal, or Patino, or Rupp, whatever, but it wasn't. People compare it to, like, being an Eddie Sutton. I don't see that. Like, dude won a natty, and they were consistently in the mix, right? So
Tubby had to win immediately. You know, Ben, a lot of people didn't want him to be the coach anyway, so him winning the title immediately in 98 squashed a lot of that. And he even said the other day, I won too much too fast. If he gets to another Final Four, just like we talk about Cal spreading out his Final Fours, and it would – Tubby got to those Elite Eights. If he gets to one or two more Final Fours, his tenure is looked at completely different. Right. Because you had a lot of those Elite Eight losses. You lose to D-Wade. He goes off. He says hello and gets a triple-double and, like, puts himself on the map. Michigan State, lose to them in the Elite Eight. If you get to the Final Four one or two more times, plus the national championship he already won, people look at him completely different. Just like Cal's struggles are completely different if you have a Final Four in 2019 instead of all of them pre-2015. Right. It's all about the whole perception thing. But, yeah, it did get kind of stale. Tubby's recruiting and the style of play and all that, and everybody was, you know, like you said, same thing, 8-10 years. Time to move on. Patino, 8-10 years. He left for Boston. Tubby, 8-ish, 9-ish years. He moves on. Cal here is 15, someone on 16. And it's just never fairy tale-ish with the ending. I mean, even Rupp got pushed out. You know, he was,
it's just, again, 15 years is a long time. We talk about in politics how, you know, that's why they have term limits in politics, right? And Joby Hall, I'm not going to go down there, but Joby Hall said it again. He said he told Cal it was a 10-year job. And, you know, maybe if they win, that they get the undefeated season, he just goes and takes that Chicago Bulls job. Maybe in 2019, Kentucky. In hindsight, I still think it was the right move at the time, but maybe in hindsight, you just let him go to UCLA and start fresh, because it was, you know, at that point, they hadn't made the Final Four in, what, 4 straight years. So it's just, no matter what, this thing's going to end one day, right? No matter, we're going to talk about the same issues. And I think it would be one thing. I think it was really hard, because I'm sure there were people who wanted him gone after last season. It would have been really hard to do that, knowing what you had coming in. And I get they have 6 guys committed, but it's not – you got to look at it and say, it's not what we had coming in last year. It's not DJ Wagner. It's not Bradshaw, Shepard. It's not Rob Dillingham, like the talent Edwards, it's not the same. It's just not. It might be ranked number two in the country. If it were Duke's, if you were to put, you know, Cooper Flagg and the other kid that Duke has committed, it'd be a little different. But this is going to, you know, Cal's always going to be able to get high school talent. It's going to change, you know, when he leaves, whether it's tomorrow or after next season, after the year after that. I just don't get why we have to keep dragging this thing out. Like, why are we doing this to the fan base at this point? And I think Mitch Barnhart genuinely was pissed off for the fan base after Nashville, from what I was told. And we haven't seen anything from post Pittsburgh, but I saw some pictures of him putting his head, you know, hands in his face. I saw Jack Pilgrim was telling me that he was standing next to Cal, or next to Mitch, during Cal's press conference, and you could see the angry expressions on his face after every sentence Cal had. You know, he even went machines, not robots, during that press conference, by the way. I think everyone's fed up, and I just don't know why do we keep doing this? The money is a real problem, but you could work around money. It's the University of Kentucky. My dad paid $42,000 a year to put me through this place. We gave a lot of money to it. So, there's a way to get through this thing.
And, you know, that relationship is non-existent anyway. Cal and Mitch.
No, they don't get along.
And as far as scared of change, could you get a Billy Gillespie? But there's been, in my lifetime, three coaches have won national championship. Look, 78, I was a baby, but I was alive. Yep. Joe B won that one. Yo, Tubby wins. Rick Pitino wins. Cal, with four coaches in my lifetime, have won national championships. I wasn't alive for any of, you know, Adolph Rupp's. But five dudes have won titles here. It's not John Witten winning 10 and then UCLA doing nothing. It's not Coach K winning them all at Duke and nothing before or after. It's not – I mean, heck, even, you know, your home school, UConn, has had a couple of guys win titles, Ali and Calhoun. So, sure, you got to make the right hire, but the odds of the Kentucky basketball program being all right post-Cal
Look, it's Kentucky basketball. Like, I don't think you're going to hire Billy G again. I know there are some rightful people, like, you know, do we trust Mitch Barnhart? He hired Joker. He hired Mitch. Billy. He hired Kyra Elzy. He hired, the other women's basketball coach that didn't do well. The name is slipping me. I think, you know, but he, you know, he's also hired Cal. He's also hired Stoops. He's hired Brooks. Yeah. Like, his track record, he's hired Matthew Mitchell. Like, and when you're around 22 years, you're going to have some swings and misses, and you better have some home runs. And he has hit some home runs. So,
Coach Skinner, too, right?
Coach Skinner, you can go down that road. You can, I think Ming Gion's been up and down, but, you know, they've had more success than usual in that program, too. So,
trying to take two out of three from Missouri as we speak.
Yeah, they just did. So, baseball school. But I saw Hunter Gillum tweeted and deleted that after the game. But you got to trust it. And I know, like, I did write a story yesterday for anyone who's interested on just putting together a potential candidate list with long shots, realistic ones, you know, sleepers maybe. And that's kind of just get a head start. God forbid we have to go down that road. There aren't many sexy names, like, unless you're able to convince a Jay Wright to come out of retirement, if you're going to somehow get Danny Hurley to leave UConn, which I don't think is happening. But I think there are some capable names on there, especially nowadays where, again, with the portal, with NIL, it is easier to rebuild a program, let alone rebuild Kentucky, than it would have been in 2009. It just would be.
Yeah, for sure. Anthony, with another good point. A new coach these days, because of the portal, will bring some of those kids with him from whatever school he's at now.
That's correct.
It's how it goes these days. Because of the portal, they will be fine. If they move on, may just take a season, which, that's to your point, why Louisville couldn't rebuild.
That's what's so pathetic about it. Just
taking a season.
Right.
Clyde Hare. Hey, I really do believe Cal is fried tomorrow.
I don't have a crystal ball. It is, you know, 6 o'clock. I feel like you almost I don't think they're going to think of it this way, but I was having this conversation with Daryl Bird last night. Like, don't you got to make a decision before 6 o'clock tomorrow when he's supposed to be on radio? Like,
nowadays coaches getting fired during their press conference. The lady from Utah State.
Yeah.
Came up after the game like, well, just been told I've been let go. So I don't, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they would do him that way. He'd come on the show and, you know, with Tom Leach, is like, well, Tom, this is my last show. I'm not saying they would do that. But, like, maybe one way or another, you know, if it is, you know, if he does do a show or if he's out recruiting, it wouldn't surprise me if he's out recruiting and has Chin Coleman do it anyway.
That would be the worst possible.
I mean, come on.
I think it has to either be Cal or it has to be Mitch Barnhart. I really think it has to be one of the two. And I'm not saying, like, if Cal does it, doesn't mean you can't still move on, but if they send Chin Coleman, Orlando Antigua, a player, man. Wow.
Man.
Or just have Tom do it himself.
And look at Clyde with his profile. Got him and Dilly right there with the picture.
Yeah, I feel bad for the players, man. Like, Rob didn't have a good game, but Reed Sheppard had probably his worst game of the season. You know, Justin Edwards missed another dunk. DJ Wagner was a no-show. So I do feel bad for the kids, but I just don't put a lot of it on them. Like, that is a really hard situation to be in as a true freshman when you know the weight of the world is – like, the fate of the program is kind of in your hands. And that's why it's like, why? Like, if we do run this back again next year, you have six freshmen. That's what you're at right now, right? They're up to six guys coming in. Maybe a couple sophomores here and there, and maybe a junior and a Duthiero, and Cal, you know, God, he better use the damn portal. But if he doesn't, you have no seniors on that team. Like, why would we expect anything different? And like, you gotta build the excitement back up. You gotta give the reason for optimism. And in my opinion, it's not there if John Calipari's back, unless there was a true, like, concrete evidence he was going to, for lack of better terms, tweak what's been going on here.
So that's where we are right now, man. We'll see what Monday brings. And
It could be a huge day. It's going to be a huge day no matter what, I think. I do think we might – I don't know. This is speculation. Again, no insight, but, like, it is it feels like it needs to happen soon, because the portal is going to, you know, as these teams drop out of the tournament, bigger names are going to keep entering the portal. As the coaching carousel continues, I mean, guys like Janelle Davis, Vlad Golden from FAU, those guys are going to be on the market. You know, who knows? Maybe they go to Michigan, who knows? But there are going to be a lot of names on this market that you got to hit. You also got to, you know, if they do bring in a coach and can at least get in front of some of their guys that are coming in next year, like, you know, maybe you do that, who knows, but something's got to give here early this week, you would think. And again, there's that 6 o'clock show tomorrow night where it feels like, you should at least have a good idea. At least you should feel like there's a good idea of what the future is going to look like. I don't know if they're going to operate that way over there at the Kraft Center or not, but, I think it's fair to the fan. I think the fans deserve some answers here. And I think I don't envy Mitch Barnhart. Let me tell you that.
Thursday night, Friday, all weekend, and then tomorrow.
And so even in Nashville, I mean, he knows what that meant to the fans. And he saw the arena sold out. He was pissed. And, who knows? It's going to be a wild off season, regardless of the decision. This is going to be a wild off season, like the most wild we've had here, maybe in the Cal era. So, you know, buckle up.
And so it begins. we'll be back Wednesday, barring any other developments. You know, appreciate everybody tuning in. Appreciate everybody dropping comments. Kentucky baseball 5-1 in the SEC. So let that positivity just kind of help offset the way we feel about basketball right now. But
pack KPP Tuesday, because you don't have to worry about going to Dallas.
That's right. Appreciate you, Aaron. Appreciate all the coverage. TheCatsPaws.com. Check out all of Aaron's work. Aaron, Jalen Whitlow, myself will be back Wednesday night. Like we said, unless we do another, see, who knows. But y'all follow us, subscribe, all that good stuff. We appreciate it. And we'll be back for another episode of Believe in Kentucky. We'll catch y'all next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.